The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
What do you know about Arminian theology? Well, that's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. Today on the show, we have special guest Steve Elkins, and we've been with him for a number of episodes now, and he's always exciting to talk to and full of energy. I think it'll be a good discussion. So let's get right to that discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Steve Elkins. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus. Steve, it's good to have you back.
Glad to be back.
I think you had a story about Jimmy Swaggart and Zane Hodges something.
We've got a lot of stories from those evening with Hodges that we'd have with our leaders and our friends.
Right.
One time I remember a girl, one of our leaders, asking Zane, this was at the time when Jimmy Swaggart had made the famous statement on his national TV, I have sinned. You know, he'd gotten involved.
He was crying.
And she said something, as I recall, to the fact, like, how could a believer do such a thing or be a true believer or something like that? And I remember Zane saying, why would we assume that he's a believer in that denomination background that he came from and the way he preaches wouldn't indicate that he's believed the gospel? They actually argue against eternal security.
Right. They're a work salvation.
Absolutely.
Arminian.
Arminian, believe you can lose your salvation and so forth. And he said, so why would we assume that he's a believer? Now, of all people that would give grace to the idea that maybe somebody could be a believer because you can believe the gospel for just a moment and you're eternally secure, it'd be Zane. But I remember him saying that, and that was very interesting. It kind of caught us off guard.
I think that's a good point, because the fact that it's possible that, let's say, a Roman Catholic or an Eastern Orthodox or an Arminian work salvation person might have believed in the past and might be born again does not mean we should assume that.
Yeah. One time I had to do a funeral for a fellow who was a known atheist. He had died of a heart attack and very verbose about his atheism. He was married to a believer, as a matter of fact. But speaking at the funeral, isn't it comforting to know that this fella actually had gone to vacation Bible schools as a little kid? And
right.
We don't know that he never believed.
Right.
And so we can have hope, you know, that maybe he believed. We just don't know. And in fact, I think there's some good chance that he did as a little kid. And so, like the verse that we can't stop quoting, 2 Timothy 2:12-13, if we are faithless, and that could happen.
Right.
Nevertheless, he remains faithful, for he cannot contradict himself. Now, back to the Swaggart story.
Yes.
Years ago, I was painting a house for a fellow who was in a denomination that believes you have to be baptized to be saved. And he was the vice president of probably their second flagship university in another state. And he taught a huge class of college kids, a Bible class on Sundays. So I remember asking Zane in his office, I said, Zane, wouldn't you think that this fellow, you know, he's read John 3:16 many times, wouldn't you think that probably, even if it was just for a moment, I had a glimpse of the truth of John 3:16 and believed it, wouldn't you think that probably would have happened? He said, I wouldn't assume it.
Yeah.
I said, what do you mean? And he told a story that happened at his church at Victor Street. There was a lady that went there. Now, as you know, Victor Street back then was made up largely of folks who had come out of the Catholic Church, but what Zane would call nominal Catholic. And so this lady was concerned for her mother, who looked like she was about to die. She was probably terminal, and she was at Baylor Hospital, and wanted Zane to go share the gospel with her. Now, the mother, in fact, was a pretty strong Catholic. And so Zane went up to her room, and he opened the Bible to John 3:16. Reads it to her and maybe makes a few comments and says, now, Mary, what do you have to do to know for sure you have eternal life? And she said, believe in Jesus and keep his commandments. Then he says, well, let's look at it again.
Right.
And he reads it gently to her again and makes a few grace comments about it to help her. And then says, now, Mary, what do you have to do to know for sure you have everlasting life? She said, believe in Jesus and obey him. First time, keep his commandments, now obey him.
Second time, obey him.
But the point is, she was well entrenched in this doctrine that comes out of the Catholic Church that you're saved by faith and works. You've got to have the works. And so his point was, when people are involved in a denomination or a church or a theology that teaches works are necessary, we should never assume that they've believed the gospel.
That is so true. Although, it's certainly true that even if an atheist at one point in the past believed, he's still born again. The truth is, when we get that opportunity like Zane had with this Mary, We should try to make it clear.
Absolutely.
A few weeks ago, maybe a month and a half ago, I was debating a Roman Catholic scholar, Robert Sungenis, and in the course of it, I brought up John 6:47, "He who believes in me has everlasting life." And I said, "Do you believe in Jesus?" He said, "Of course I do." I said, "So what do you have?" And he said, "Well, I have everlasting life. As long as I am faithful, I'll keep it." Mm. I said, "Well, there's nothing there about keeping it. You believe in him, you have everlasting life." I said, "Why are you bringing up you've got to persevere?" And he said, "Well, I'm in a state of grace right now, but I need to stay in the state of grace." My. I was just kind of blown away. I'm like, but the text says whoever believes in him. John 3:16, same thing.
So excellent. You know, last week I mentioned, or the last episode, about my favorite conference presentation was by Zane on the Upper Room Discourse. But I have to admit, right up there at the top was a talk he gave at the GS conference on saved or in the state of grace.
I remember that one.
You've got to get it. Anybody listening, please go to YouTube.
And it's also at the Zane Hodges Library that Mike Lee has.
Let's give a shout out to Mike Lee for doing the Zane Hodges Library, because what a gift that is.
Oh, it really
is.
And it's on there.
Yeah.
It's called what? Saved or in the state of grace?
Saved or in the state of grace. And it's an imaginary conversation between two college students, one who's a free grace guy and another one who's an Arminian and believes you can lose your salvation and so forth. And it's just genius. It's really well done. Well, years ago, we had an evening with Hodges where we invited our friends and leaders over, and he had done his presentation. I think that time it was on why seeking eternal rewards is not selfish. And he quoted Matthew 6:19, where it says, "Store up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and thieves don't break in and steal." And he said, you know, it can't be selfish to, if Jesus is commanding it, selfish in a sinful way. In fact, he says, store up for yourselves, not your mom, your dad, your children. Store up for you, for yourselves. This is wise living, wise investment, if you will. And it's a command. It's non-optional. Jesus can't command us to do something that's selfish. And it's not something that we should think, well, we might or might not do. It's a command. We need to obey it.
Absolutely.
And furthermore, the motive behind it is, look what we're going to get. We're going to get treasure in heaven. And he says, where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. I mean, it's just good for us.
Right.
It was a great talk. But as I said, most of the people that came were Young Life leaders. And these are college age and just post-college age, by and large, young professionals and teachers and so forth who came. Almost every year, the questions would come up about election, as you can imagine, or predestination. It just seemed like that would happen every year. And it was at one of these meetings that I first heard about middle knowledge. Zane was a believer in middle knowledge, or what's called Molinism. And middle knowledge is the idea, it's much more complicated than the way I'm going to present it, but simply put, that God not only knows all the things that are going to happen, but he knows all the possibilities of things that could have happened. He knows all the feasible worlds that he could have created.
Right.
Furthermore, think about this. He knows all the choices that would have been made in those possible, feasible worlds that aren't going to happen, what are called counterfactuals. They're not going to happen. But he knows what would have happened if he created that, and all the what he called permutations of the choices, the things that come out of those choices. You know, it's infinite knowledge. It truly is. And so one of the things Zane said about middle knowledge that's really stuck with me, he says, it's like three-dimensional chess, but infinitely more complicated.
Wow.
And it lets the mystery of sovereignty and free will rest in God's infinite knowledge. He simply knows more than we know. And that's where Paul leaves it in Romans 11. You know, who can search the depths and mysteries of all that God knows?
Right.
And I just think that's a wonderful, helpful tool. I wouldn't die for middle knowledge, but I think it is a way to look at the Bible, and it lets the Bible speak for itself. We have free will. And at the same time, God is totally sovereign, and it allows for both of those without a contradiction.
Yeah, you know, that's an interesting point. And I did talk with Zane about that on a number of occasions. I didn't agree with him that God elects people to everlasting life. I agree with Sean Lazar in his book, Chosen to Serve, that election in the Bible is to service. But I do believe there is such a thing as middle knowledge, because Jesus said to Capernaum, if the miracles and the preaching done here had been done in Sodom and Gomorrah, they would have repented in sackcloth and ashes.
Yeah.
And that it will be more tolerable for them in the judgment than for you, because you've rejected greater light.
Of course he has middle knowledge. Like when he says to Cain, if you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up?
Right.
But if you do not do well, sin is crouching in the door and its desires for you.
He knew there were two possibilities.
Yeah. Yeah. And many other examples we could give all through the Bible.
Yeah. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I would have gathered you as a hen gathers, but you were not willing.
Exactly. You know, one of the great endearing stories for me about Zane is we'd have lunch every month, at least once a month. And I would drop him off at his office, and as he got out of the car, he'd always look in the window, or with the door open maybe, and say, make sure and tell Marcy hello.
Oh, that's nice.
And I'd say, I sure will. I'll give her a big kiss for you. And he'd always smile and say, make it a good one. So you got to love that. He was single all of his life. Was he 75 when he died?
Let's see. He was born in 32, and he died in 2008, so he was 76.
Yeah, what a guy.
We're very appreciative of Zane Hodges. I would encourage all of you to read his writings. Of course, you know, Steve and I know that Zane was like all of us. He was a man who sinned, and he was a man who didn't get everything right. In fact, the very fact that he changed his views over the years showed that earlier he didn't have things right.
Yeah.
But that was a powerful testimony to me.
Yeah.
That here was a man, even into his 70s, that was still changing his views because he was open.
Yeah. You know, and one of the things I love about him that he didn't change his view on, and that is that ever since he became a believer as a young fella at a Plymouth Brethren church, he said that's the way he had always believed the gospel.
I remember he even said that when he was in the Baptist church and then when he was in the mm-hmm. Brethren, mm-hmm. same thing. And that's exactly right. That's the thing I find really comforting with Zane. His core values and mm-hmm. beliefs never changed. But, like, for example, The Outer Darkness, mm-hmm. a guy named Mike Huber wrote his thesis at Dallas Seminary on The Outer Darkness and changed Zane's view on The Outer Darkness.
Is that right?
And I wrote my dissertation on repentance under him, and Zane ended up mm-hmm. seeing weaknesses in my dissertation and changing his view yeah. on from the change of mind view to the view he advocated in Absolutely Free, and that ultimately changed my view of
yeah.
repentance.
When I first met Zane and taking that Hebrews class, what impressed me about him in his answering questions, unlike the Calvinists that I'd been around and kind of put around myself at the time, he didn't gloss over the scriptures. He was sensitive to every jot and tittle of the text. So when S. Lewis Johnson called him a biblicist, that's truly what he was.
Well, that's what we should all be, right?
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Steve, and thank you all for listening. Keep grace in focus.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you like to grow and mature in your understanding of Scripture? Well, that's our mission for you. And one of the best ways to do that, we think, is for you to come to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org, and get involved. We've got free daily blog posts that if you get subscribed, completely hassle-free, they'll show up in your inbox. Those that read them are enriched on a daily basis. So come visit us at faithalone.org. You may be interested in becoming a financial partner with the Grace Evangelical Society, the organization that puts on this radio show. You can find out how to do that and give tax-deductible gifts at faithalone.org. Maybe you have a question or a comment or some feedback. And if you do, that's great. We would love to hear from you. So here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. You can get us day or night, radio@faithalone.org. We look forward to being back with you on the Monday edition of Grace in Focus. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.